You would begin to ask at this point in the story, what's going to happen when Jesus is not present? As we know that Jesus is going to die, rise again, and ascend into heaven. But how is the story going to continue until Jesus returns? And the answer to that is where I want us to go this week, and that is that Jesus' story, the story of God, is going to continue until Jesus returns through the church. I want you to go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll get started in verse 13 this morning. Where we left off last week, Jesus' ministry was beginning. He started by preaching, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Here we are. It's been 3 years. And Jesus' ministry is almost over. He's effectively begun his death march towards Jerusalem. He hasn't yet told the disciples that he's going to be killed and rise from the dead because they've not yet understood who he is. But in this moment, as we'll soon see, Jesus, as he's about to walk towards Jerusalem, that final week of his earthly life before his resurrection, as he's walking towards this climax in the story, he's going to make a provision for how his work will continue when he's gone. And he's going to do that through the church. I want you to read with me Matthew chapter 16. Follow along, beginning in verse 13. The scripture says this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you again in the name of Jesus, begging for your help. We ask for help because you tell us in your word that the things of God are not understood by the natural mind, for they are spiritually discerned. So God, we need your spirit. We might walk into this room with degrees from Bible colleges or seminaries. We might walk into this room as Sunday school teachers and those that have studied theology. Father, but the truth is that we can't understand your word rightly apart from your Spirit. So Spirit, we ask for your help. We ask that you would preach louder than I can preach and do what I cannot do and speak to the heart. God, I pray that through your word this morning we would see Jesus as beautiful, because he is beautiful. We would see the church as beautiful, because she is beautiful. And Father, we pray that in response to the truths that we learn in your word here this morning, that we would be who you've called us to be, that we would be more faithful tomorrow than we were yesterday. By your grace and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. In 2014, Andrew Sullivan, columnist for Newsweek, wrote a cover story with a picture of Jesus Christ in the middle of midtown, downtown Manhattan. And the title of the story was, "Follow Jesus, Forget the Church." Maybe you've heard people say things like, I love Jesus, but I just don't like the church. About a year or so back, a major Christian author who's written a lot of books that have sold in a lot of Christian bookstores, wrote this in a blog post. Do I attend church? Not often, to be honest. It's not how I learn. But I also believe the church is all around us, not to be confined by a specific tribe. The church has fallen on hard times in the 21st century. Jesus is still popular with a number of people, even those who would claim to deny that He is God. Jesus is still fairly popular. But the church is decreasing in popularity. We can see this in the rapid decline in church attendance across the United States of America over the past 30 or 40 years. Some of that we've even seen here at Pocosin Baptist Church. One Christian writer, Tom Rainer, says that one of the things that's different about Christianity in the 21st century is that faithfulness to a local church used to mean you were there every time the doors are open. Today it means you're there about three times a month. The church has fallen on hard times in the United States of America, and maybe even in our own hearts. But what I want you to see this morning as we continue to walk through the story of the Bible is that the local church is central to Jesus' plan for the nations. Jesus authorizes local churches to function as embassies of the kingdom of God until His return. I want you to look with me very quickly at Matthew 16. I want to show you something in Matthew 18 in just a moment. Jesus here is founding, he's beginning the church of Jesus Christ. And notice that He not only promises to build the church and promises that the gates of hell will not overcome it, but He also gives the church authority. Notice what He says. We'll talk about what this means in a moment. But He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, some would argue that this text is talking about the universal church. In other words, all Christians everywhere make up the universal church. But what I want to show you is that Jesus applies this same authority to local churches in Matthew 18. Go to Matthew 18 with me. Jesus uses this same phrase about binding and loosing in Matthew 18. And we'll not read the whole text just yet, but look at verse 18. He's clearly talking about a local church in this section. And He says this in verse 18, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to show you that just to get started so that you see that there is a parallel between universal church and local church. The local church matters. That's why this author that says, well, the church is everywhere and there's different manifestations of the church wherever you are. It doesn't matter that I attend church. That author has not understood that the local gathered assembly of the people of God matters. So this morning, I want to show you five reasons why the local church, local churches like Pocosin Baptist Church, why they matter. Five reasons why local churches matter. Reason number one, church matters because Jesus matters. Look at our text again in Matthew 16, verse 16. Jesus has asked His disciples, who do people say that I am? And they give Him this litany of possibilities. Maybe He's Elijah. Maybe He's John the Baptist. Maybe He's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Can I submit to you this morning, friend, there is not a more important question for you to answer. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And notice the answer that Peter gives. You are the Christ. Messiah is what that word means. The Son of the living God. You are God, is what Peter says. You are the Messiah. It's interesting to me how many people try to argue that Jesus never claimed to be God. That Jesus just was a good teacher, just a good man. We should follow His example, but we shouldn't worship Him as God. Can I submit to you that if Jesus didn't claim to be God, then why is He not rebuking Peter? Notice in verse 17, He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Good job, buddy! Right? This is a good answer. By the way, it's such a good answer that you didn't come up with it by yourself. The Father revealed it to you. Jesus is giving Peter an attaboy for claiming that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Messiah. So, it's important to get who this Jesus is. Friend, who is Jesus? Is He a good person? Is He a moral teacher? Or is He God? Can I submit to you that C.S. Lewis is right? Jesus is either a liar who claimed to be God even though He wasn't, a lunatic because He acted as if He was God even though He wasn't, or He is Lord. He is exactly who He claimed to be. And I believe that the evidence is very clear that Jesus Christ is Lord. But here's the important thing I want us to get in context of the local church this morning. Jesus, this God, this Messiah, this one who spoke the universe into orbit, this one chose to build a church. Notice in verse 18, "On this rock I will build my church." Jesus could have started a Christian conference ministry. He could have started a Christian publishing ministry. He could have started a Christian university or a Christian daycare or a Christian high school. He could have started a Christian worship band. He could have started a Christian relief organization to help the poor. He could have started any number of ministries, but He did not. He chose to found the church. That means this must be incredibly significant. Those like Andrew Sullivan that would say, "Follow Jesus, forget the church." That would be like saying, "Follow Yoda, but forget about the Force." It doesn't make any sense. You cannot follow Jesus and forget the church. He chose to build the church. He connects His very identity to the church. If you remember in the book of Acts, Saul is persecuting the church, and Jesus says, "Saul, why are you persecuting who? Me." Jesus says, you cannot disconnect Me from the local church or the local church from Me. This is incredibly significant, friend. If you are here this morning and you claim to be a follower of Jesus, let me ask you a very pointed question. Are you following Jesus by gathering with His church? If you claim to be a follower of Jesus but see the local church as something that's not essential, I would submit to you that you have stopped following Jesus. Jesus chose to build the church. Here's what this means practically for some of you. Join a church. Join a church. Now, I'm not trying to fill up our pews necessarily. The Lord leads you somewhere else that preaches the gospel. Praise God. But if you're here and you call PBC home, stop dating the church and take the plunge. And commit and say, "This is my church." Why? Because Jesus cares about the church, so I should care about the church. So that's you this morning, and you're here kind of loosely affiliated, loosely connected. I'll plead with you. Don't take church lightly. Next, 2 weeks from today, April 23rd, we're going to begin again another cycle of our Discover class. So if you're here and you call PBC home, but you've not yet taken the plunge, or maybe you're our guest this morning and you want to learn more about who we are, what we believe, and why we're here, this would be a great way for you to do that. But you can't follow Jesus and forget the church. Maybe you're here and you are a member of PBC. And maybe you're pretty faithful. I would plead with you to help others to see the importance of the local church. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus at all, and you say, you know what? How can I follow this Jesus when His people are so horrible? And you look around, maybe you even look around at some of us and you say, I know what they've done. I know what she's said. I know where he's been. Can I submit to you this morning, brother, sister, friend, don't judge Jesus by His followers. Jesus Christ is amazing and good and holy and pure and just. His followers, not so much. But we're trying. So, you friend who struggle so much with all of the hypocrites in the church, I would plead with you, we have room for another. Come in and join us. And we will love you. And we will serve you. And we will grow and fight our hypocrisy together. The local church matters because Jesus matters. Secondly, it matters because doctrine matters. Doctrine. What is doctrine? Well, doctrine is what we believe on a particular subject. Simple definition of doctrine. What you believe on a particular subject. Everybody has doctrine. Everybody believes things. Even though belief has fallen on hard times in a postmodern world. There's a song by John Mayer called Belief. And I love John Mayer's music. But listen to this. These lyrics. He says, belief is a beautiful armor, but makes for the heaviest sword. Like punching underwater, you never can hit who you're trying for. And then he says this, we're never going to win the world. We're never going to stop the war. We're never going to beat this if belief is what we're fighting for. What puts 100,000 children in the sand? Belief can. Belief can. What puts a folded flag inside his mother's hand? Belief can. Belief can. What John Mayer is saying is the problem with the world is that we believe things. If I would ever get an opportunity to meet Mr. Mayer, I would ask him, do you really believe what you wrote? Do you really believe that? Because if belief is a problem, are you believing what you claim is so important? And how can we trust your belief either? Belief, the truth is, every single one of us is believing something. The question is, what do we believe? Now notice, there's a connection between doctrine, what we believe, and the local church. Peter makes a confession of faith in verse 16. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then, after his confession of faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you this, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus is saying there's a line between doctrine, what you believe, and the local church. Church matters because doctrine matters. Now, here's a big question that Christians have debated for a long time. What is the rock that Jesus builds the church upon? Now, Peter's name actually means rock. So it kind of sounds like this if we put it in English. You are rocky, and on this rock I will build my church. So it sounds very much like Jesus is talking about Peter. And our Roman Catholic friends have said, well, yes, Jesus is talking about Peter. In fact, Peter was the first pope. And as a result, we've had this papal succession following Peter. Peter was the very first pope, and now we continue to have popes because Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. And Protestants, including us, would push back and say, wait a minute, Peter also is called Satan in just a few verses. So, is he really building it on Peter? And many Protestants have said, well, no, he says, on this rock. The rock is not Peter, but it's Peter's confession. It's the fact that Peter says Jesus is the Christ. I think a better answer, probably the best answer, is that the rock on which Jesus builds the church is not Peter alone, it's not his confession alone, but it's the confessing Peter. In other words, Jesus is building his church on people who believe the truth. So doctrine matters. The church matters because doctrine matters. So here's what this means practically. The church is not for super saints. Some of you are here and you know the story of Peter. With all his flaws and all his foibles, he was still a great man. And you might say, well, I am no Peter. The local church must not be for me. I'm not good enough. Jesus chose to build the church on the confessing Peter, even though he knew that Peter would deny him 3 times. You don't have to be good enough to be connected with a local church. Maybe you're here this morning and you're on the other end of the extreme and you think, the church, you know, anybody can come, anybody can go. The church is kind of like the wild, wild west. Believe what you want, do what you want, come when you want. That's not true either. If you are here and you claim to be a member of Pocosin Baptist Church and you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then we would say, this is not the place for you. Now, if you're here as a guest and you're just trying to discover who we are and what we believe, praise God, you're welcome. But we will not call you family if you do not believe the gospel. We'll love you. We'll serve you. We'll die for you. But if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, we cannot call you brother or sister. Church matters because doctrine matters. Number three, the church matters because souls matter. I saw this on my mom's Facebook last week. Everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change the toilet paper roll. We do live in a world where everybody wants to change the world. Isn't it interesting? I don't know how long this has been going on, but now you can't go anywhere, it seems, to buy something without being hit up for money. And I'm not talking about a homeless person outside the shop. I'm talking about the cashier. Do you want to round up for this? Do you want to give 5 cents for this? We were at PetSmart about 6 or 7 months ago buying something for our dog, and they asked us if we wanted to donate some extra change for homeless animals. And we said, no, we're okay. Sorry if you're a homeless animal lover. We just felt like we could use our money better elsewhere. And they said, well, what about one penny? Every penny helps. Really? One penny? That's probably going to help pay the administrative cost of your organization. Whatever. We all care about changing the world, don't we? We care about what's going on in Syria. We care about the churches in Egypt that were bombed by ISIS. We care about breast cancer. We care about child hunger and childhood obesity. We care about racism. We care about autism awareness. We care about human trafficking. We care about all of these things. I submit to you, we care about these things because we care about souls. Even if you're here and you're not a believer in this gospel, I would submit to you that you do care because you care about souls, even though you might not see it that way. We care about souls. But can I tell you something? The best way to care for souls is to commit to a local church. So what are you talking about? Look at what Jesus says in verse 18. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to understand the image that Jesus is using here. You think of warfare, right? There's a battle going on. There's this incredible battle. And here's the way we usually think about this. The church is tucked away in a corner, and the gates of hell are encroaching, and the enemy's coming, and he's blasting his fiery darts, and we're back in the corner, and we're struggling, and we're hunkered down, and we're going to make it. And finally, we barely eke out a victory in the end. That's the way we normally think about it. The only problem is, how many battle scenes have you seen where the enemy attacks with gates? Doesn't happen, right? It's bow and arrow or sword and shield, machine gun, but nobody brings a gate and I'm going to hit you with my gate. Gates aren't offensive weapons. What are gates? They're defense. So here's the image. The gates of hell over here, and the church is running into the gates of hell and rescuing souls out of hell. That's the image. The church is advancing. The church is playing offense. The church is winning, and the church will survive. If you care about souls, you will care about the local church. I submit to you practically, I think that Jesus' heart, Jesus' desire, is for the local church together to be involved in pursuing the lost. Jesus never said to you, individual, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. But He did say, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Together we are something that we are not when we're alone. So one of the reasons why we're doing our Easter extravaganza this Saturday is a simple way that we as a church together can pursue our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I submit to you, it's not a success if 5 of us or 10 of us show up to serve on Saturday. A success is when the local church together comes together. The gates of hell will not prevail against that, is what Jesus says. So the church matters because souls matter. Number 4. The church matters because the kingdom matters. The church matters because the kingdom matters. And we need to understand here the story of the Bible just a little bit, what we've walked through so far. God created Adam and Eve to be His representatives, remember? They were supposed to represent Him, to fill the earth, to subdue it, and to have dominion. How did they do as His representatives? They fell. They fell. And so God chooses a family. And He calls out a man named Abraham. And He says, Abram, I will make you a blessing, and in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So you, Abraham, and your family are now going to be My representatives on the earth. So the nation of Israel was formed. And once again, how did the people of God, the nation of Israel, how did they do representing Jesus, representing God to the nations? Not a good job, did they? Of course not. No. They didn't do a good job. So Jesus comes up on the scene and he promises. First of all, He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then He promises that the kingdom is going to be taken away from the religious leaders of Israel and given to a new people. He says in Matthew chapter 8 that this new people will include Gentiles like the Roman centurion. Those who represent God on the earth are those who believe the gospel. But here's the problem. Through the first half of your Bible, the entire Old Testament, the way to tell if someone was one of God's representatives was if they were a part of the nation of Israel, right? Now, this new covenant is not bound to one nation, is it? Every nation. People from every tribe and tongue. So how do we know who truly represents Jesus? And this is a really important question because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, many will call Me Lord, and yet they don't know Me. So how do we know who truly represents Jesus? The answer is that Jesus has appointed and authorized the church to function as an embassy. Let me show you this in our text. Look with me at verse 19. This is one of the most confusing phrases that Jesus utters, but I'm going to try to explain it as clearly as I can. Verse 19, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. One of the reasons why this is so hard to understand is because Jesus has mixed metaphors here. Keys, what do? They open and shut things. And then He talks about something binding and loosing. What is He doing in these verses? Here's what I believe that Jesus is doing. Jesus is giving the church authority to function as an embassy of the kingdom of God. Think about an embassy of the United States of America. What does an embassy do? If you were to go to Canada. We'll make it simple. Go to Canada. And you're over there, maybe you're visiting the other side of the Niagara Falls, and you're over in Canada for a while, and you didn't realize that your passport was near expiration before you left. And there you are, you spent a week over in Niagara Falls, and it's time to come back to the United States, and your passport is expired. You cannot come back into the U.S. Why? Because the Border Patrol does not know if you're truly a citizen of the United States of America. Because your passport's expired. So what do? You go to the United States Embassy in Canada. And what do there? You ask them to verify that you're a citizen of the United States. Can they make you a citizen? No. But they can verify that you are a citizen. That is what Jesus is authorizing the church to do. The church does not make you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. The church doesn't make you become a Christian. But the church authorizes, the church is authorized to profess whether or not you are a genuine believer. So what do you mean? The other phrase, the other section in the New Testament where Jesus uses this language is in Matthew chapter 18, the section on church discipline. And Jesus says, if someone sins against you, you go to that person, you confront them. They won't listen to you, you bring someone else with you, you go again, and you confront them again. And if they continue to reject you, you take it to the church. And if they won't listen to the church, then you treat them as an unbeliever. You say, we have no confidence that this person truly is a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's the authority that Jesus has given the local church. We have the authority as the local church. We have the authority not to make you a Christian, but to affirm your profession of faith. So here's the way that works practically. If you're here and you're interested in membership at Coastal Baptist Church, we've had new members recently. One of the things that they do is they come and they sit down with me and some of our deacons and we ask them, tell us how God saved you. Tell us your story. Tell us the gospel. And if that person says, well, you know, I'm just working really hard trying to be good enough to become a Christian. I'm trying to be good enough for God to love me. We would not invite that person into church membership. Why not? Because we cannot affirm that they are truly citizens of the kingdom. Why? Because we do not enter the kingdom by works, but by faith. That's the function of the church in the New Testament. So here's one more. The church matters because you matter. The church matters because you matter. If you look over in Matthew 18, this other passage where Jesus mentions the church, this whole text is about Jesus making his people pure. If you're here and you're not a believer, you need to understand that being a Christian does not mean that we stop sinning. Being a Christian means that when we sin, we confess it, and we fight it, and we wage war against it. If you're here and you're rejecting Jesus because Christians still sin, you've not understood what the Christian message is all about. It's not about us being perfect. It's about us waging war against our sin. But what happens when one of us who claims to be a follower of Jesus continues in sin and does not fight it? One of the ways that God calls the church to remain pure is for us to lovingly approach one another and confront one another. Here's the point. God wants you, Christian, to be pure. And the way He has chosen to make you pure is through the local church. Picture with me that you are in the middle of a flood. We just moved to Pocosin, and so we'll probably get to experience one of these soon. And you're, maybe it's one of those big nor'easters, maybe it's something cataclysmic. And it's a flood that's so horrible, and the waters are rising so fast that you are on the roof of your house to protect yourself from the water. And there on the roof of your house, you cry out, God, please rescue me. The waters continue to rise. And before long, a man in a raft comes by. And he says, neighbor, I'm here to rescue you. And there you are on the roof of your house and you say, no thank you, sir. I prayed and God is going to rescue me. So then you stay on your roof and the water begins to rise some more and you continue to pray, God, please rescue me. And then over time, a pontoon boat comes by. And man says, neighbor, come, get on, let me help you. And you say, no, I've prayed and I've asked God to rescue me. God is going to rescue me. And you continue to wait. Water continues to get higher and higher. Before long, you are literally treading water, trying to stay afloat. And you hear the buzzing of a helicopter overhead. A ladder drops and a man climbs down and he says, friend, grab on. I'm here to rescue you. And you say, no, God is going to rescue me. And eventually, you die. And you meet God, face to face. And you say, God, I asked you to rescue me. Why didn't you rescue me? And he says to you, I did. Three times. I sent someone to rescue you, and you refused to receive the rescue that I provided.
Can I say something to you,
Christian? The rescue that God has provided to save you from you and me from me is the local church. And some of us here are saying, no, I don't want that. I don't want that raft. I don't want that helicopter. I want to encounter God in the woods. I want to do this. I want to do that. And God says, this is what I have given you. Receive it. Have life. Brother, sister, you are made to be a part of a community, to be a part of a family of faith. And that family of faith is the local church. I want to say just three things in conclusion by way of application. What does this all mean for us? Well, if you're here, again, and you're not a church member, if you're not connected, maybe you haven't yet seen why this matters. I plead with you to get serious about church membership. We'd love to talk with you more about what that means. I'd love to talk to you about that today if you want to pull me aside and talk to me at the end of the service. We encourage you to grab one of the cards in the Welcome Center at the end of the building and get some information about our Discover class coming up in 2 weeks. If you're not a member, join a church. For some of you, this means you need to repent and believe. Be baptized and be welcomed into the community of faith. I'll plead with you to do that. And some of you here, it's very different. You're members, but you're not really committed. Someone's asked me before, what do you think it means to be a faithful church member at Pocosin Baptist Church? We got a lot going on at PBC. Do I have to come to everything on the calendar in order to be considered faithful? Well, here's what I think that you should do. Three things. If PBC is your home, I think you should commit to gather weekly with God's people. You should commit to gather weekly and worship. You need it. I need it. You encourage us. We encourage you. I think you should commit to connect through some sort of small group Bible study. Got them on Sunday mornings at 9:15. We've got them on Wednesday nights. We've got ladies' Bible studies during the week. There's different things going on. But we think you should commit to some small group Bible study where you can connect with brothers and sisters. And we think that you should commit some way, somewhere to serve in the local body. You have been given a gift, Christian. Your gift is not for you. It's for the church to serve. Maybe that's you this morning. You're here. Your PBC is your home, but you need to commit. Maybe you're here and you're a PBC member and you're committed and you're here pretty faithfully. Here's what I would plead with you by way of application. Prioritize the church. Prioritize the church. What do you mean? A couple of things. I know that summer's fast approaching. Many of us are going to take vacations and trips. Can I plead with you? Don't allow long distances away from your church family. If you're able, take those vacations and come back on Saturday so you can worship with your church family. I'm not going to be legalistic about this where you can never be gone, never miss a church service, but it should be the exception rather than the rule that you are gathering with your church family. Not because we need you, but because you need the church. Some of us are involved in sports and hobbies and extracurricular things, and I would plead with you, are you prioritizing local church involvement over those extra things in your life? On Judgment Day, you will not regret the fact that you didn't have enough time with sports or with your hobbies. You will not be concerned about wood, hay, and stubble and those things. You will be most concerned about what you did that lasts for eternity. And finally, I would say for those of us that are committed, do you value the local church more than parachurch ministries? Those ministries that come alongside the church, they're wonderful, they're good, we support them, they're great, but let us not elevate those above the local church. Does Pocosin Baptist Church have problems? Some of you are like, is that a trick question? Yes, we do. Starting with me. We have problems because we're sinners and we're fallen and we're broken and we need Jesus. Yes, we have problems. But God chose to work through the church, to love the church, pray for the church, serve the church, get involved in the church. Why? Because this is what God has chosen to use to bless the nation. I want to invite you to be a part of what God is doing here. Not because we've got it all together, but because we know the one that does. Will you pray with me?